Good morning. This is from John 14, verses 1 through 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I would go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. So no one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe that because of the work themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Are you familiar with the quote, no battle plan survives first contact with the enemy? Have you heard that quote before? I always have to look it up. You may have noticed me glancing back before I walked up here, because it's by Helmut von Moltke the Elder, a Prussian general. I don't know why I can't remember that name. It should stick, right? But it doesn't. I'll tell you the one that I can remember more easily. It's a different version of, I think, a similar concept. Everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. That's Mike Tyson, right? It's a good reminder that we can plan for things. We can have really good intentions. We can work really hard to. We can know what to do. We can know what we should do, what we want to do. And it's easy to come up with good ideas when we're not in the heat of the moment. But when things get hard, we tend to revert back to who we fall back on old habits, right? I spend most of my time talking about Jesus. And the Jesus that I understand, the Jesus that I know, is constantly talking about how we need to care for those who have less than us. And in my day-to-day life, it is difficult for me to remember, but the truth is, around the globe, most people have less than I do, right? Now, I can know that in my head, but when I'm looking at my bills and trying to figure out how to get everything paid, it doesn't feel that way, right? In the stress of the moment, it doesn't feel that way. So I can have great ideas about how I need to care for those who have less than I do, until I get into the stress of having to make decisions where it doesn't feel like that's the case, and then it's easy for my plan to fall apart and for me to fall back on, well, listen, I gotta make sure that I take care, I gotta make sure that I am okay first, right? The Jesus I know is constantly calling me to be a person of peace. And not just a person who, like, avoids conflict, but a person who works for justice in the world, who confronts powers, particularly powers of violence and oppression, but not in a way that puts more violence and oppression back out in the world, not in a way that looks at power structures like this and says, how do we turn them like this, right? So that it's just different people on top, but instead that meets violence with joy and with life, and like Jesus did. I believe these things. I talk about them all the time. I plan for them. And yet my wife will tell you that when we're out in public and I hear people starting to get aggravated, I hear violence acting up, my body language changes. I grew up in a community that could be peaceful in certain places and was not always. And so there's a part of me that shifts as I prepare to step in and maybe having to like stop violence. It's easy to have a plan or to talk about good ideas, and then when the stress of a moment comes, it is so hard to remember who it is we are working to be. The scripture that Darla read, there's a line in here that's probably one of the best known scriptures for those who talk about Jesus and the work that Jesus is doing, and maybe even the importance of understanding and having a relationship with Jesus. This line about, I am the way, the truth, and the life. None shall come to the Father but through me. And taken out of context, this can sound like the kind of thing that says, if you're not on the inside, you don't get to heaven, right? None get to God unless they believe in Jesus. But when we read this story, when we remember what comes before this, we recognize that this is not what Jesus is saying to his disciples. First of all, it wouldn't make any sense for him to be saying that to his disciples. His disciples are already there, right? They are the 12 who have stuck with him through thick and thin. Right before this, this is in John's version of the Last Supper. Although in John's version of the story, it's the only one where we don't actually get a telling of Jesus serving his disciples any food. We don't get the telling of breaking the bread like we do in all the others. Instead, we get Jesus begins by telling them that he's about to die. And so you can imagine how they're feeling. And then he washes their feet. That's the central part. That's the central act of service that Jesus provides his disciples in this story in John. And then he tells them that those who would be greatest must be servants of all. Then he gives them a new commandment, that you love others. As I have loved you, so you must love each other. What he's trying to do is help them get through a mind shift, right? They have been getting on board with this Jesus message. For the last 3 years, they've been following him. They've been working on it. They're not always getting it right. You know, we read plenty of stories about how they don't understand. Jesus says, do you not get it yet, right? There's plenty of times they don't get it, but they're working on it. They're working toward it. And yet, as soon as they hear that the guy who they've been following all this time, the guy who they thought was going to liberate them from the trials and tribulations of this world is going to die, all of a sudden, you can imagine how they want to revert back. Maybe they don't want to, but how there's this reverting back. Okay, what am I going to do without Jesus here? What can I fall back on? How am I going to survive in a world that, I mean, if I'm going to do something different, I've been doing something different the last 3 years, but it's just because I've been doing what Jesus told me to do. I'm not ready to do this without him, right? And so, they're thinking, we've lost, or at least we're about to. When you go up against power and it kills you, you lost, right? But Jesus is showing them a different way. He kneels and washes their feet. How's that for disrupting assumptions about power? He tells them, I've served you, and it's not because you're greater than I am, right? It's not because the student is greater than the teacher. It's because this is what it looks like to have power in the kingdom of God. The greatest serve the least. This is how we do it. And soon, when I leave, you will be the greatest, which means you must serve. He's trying to get them to shift their thinking. And he's saying to them in this line about I am the way, the truth, and the life. None shall come to the Father but through me. He's saying to them, don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Don't worry about what the powers of this world are doing to you or around you or against you. The way that I have taught you is the way to God. It is the way of truth. It is the way of life. Everything else is false. People who put themselves in place of God, they are not then God. So while it may look like they're winning in the moment, it's a false, it's like one of those mazes, right? Where it looks like you're getting closer and closer to the middle, but it doesn't matter how close you get to the middle. If you're on the wrong path, eventually you hit a dead end. And hey, getting close to the middle isn't the same as getting there. You got to backtrack all the way back and get on the right path, right? He's saying it doesn't matter how close it looks like they are. They're not going to get you there. The only way that gets you there is the path that I've shown you. And even when that path looks like it leads through the valley of the shadow of death, it's the only way to real life. And so as we gather here this morning, as we remember these stories, the stories that matter, right? The stories within Scripture that teach us who God really is, the thing that God is doing, the thing that God has done in Jesus and is about to let loose with the Holy Spirit. I don't mean to get ahead of ourselves. We're not at Pentecost yet, but is about to do, right? The stories that give us, that help us understand. Also the stories within us, those places where God is at work. It's important that we remember the journey that we have been on with God in the good times, in those times where it's easy to be thoughtful and contemplative, to hear that still small voice of God speaking to you. All those times where you have heard God working on your heart, helping you let go of anger, of distrust, of defensiveness, opening you up to generosity, to love, to forgiveness. And then in those moments where everything feels like it's crashing down around you, and you don't know where God is because you can't hear God speaking to you, to trust that the story that God has written so far in your life is still the story that God is writing in your life. To walk in faith is to walk knowing that God is still there, still doing that thing. And that even though you may be walking through the valley of the shadow of death, even though it may look like that path that God has led you down, that path of Jesus has led you into the valley of death, that in God, it is always a pathway to new life. Those times when we want to be generous, but we just get scared, we give anyway. Those times when we want to love, but we just don't know if we can stand being hurt again, we love anyway. Those times when we feel the defensiveness rise up in us and we feel like we need to lash out before somebody lashes out at us, we remember that those walls don't defend us. They only keep us from experiencing the life, yeah, the hard, but also the joy, the life abundant that God has for us. May we continue writing the story that God is writing in our lives. May we continue living into that story in the good times and in the hard. Amen.